Some 6 weeks ago, the church came together to observe the passion and death of our Lord. It was a time to commemorate the sacrifice of the cross, as well as the 3 days in the tomb when the early church experienced life without Jesus. Do you remember what the Gospels told us during those days? How they told us that the apostles had hid together in the upper room, a bunch of quivering cowards bolting the door because they were afraid that the leaders of the Jews would come after the Master's disciples. Despite the Lord's repeated promise that he would rise from the dead, the apostles lost confidence in him. But the Lord still kept his promise. At the end of the days in the tomb, he conquered death and walked right into that same locked upper room and banished all fear and restored all hope. The disciples learned in one 3-day lesson never to doubt Jesus again. For he is the Messiah, the promised one who keeps his promises. After he had stayed with his apostles and disciples for 40 days, teaching them and opening their minds and hearts to the meaning of the scripture and the meaning of all the things he had taught them before, but now in the light of the resurrection, after 40 days, it came time for him to leave again. And as he ascended into heaven, he made them 2 new promises. First, that someday he would return to his people. And second, that in the meantime, he would send his Holy Spirit to clothe them, as he says, with power from on high. And this time, they believed his promises. Today's reading from St. Luke's Gospel tells us that after the Lord ascended to heaven, the apostles, it says, did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. What a contrast. Now this time they didn't lose hope, but they went back to Jerusalem and that same upper room to wait, but this time not in fear and hiding, but in joy, and not locking themselves up, but as he tells us, going out in public and praising God, even into the temple, where they could easily be arrested. When we look back at the events of those days, especially the days before Easter, it really is kind of amazing what fools these apostles were. I mean, think about it. They'd seen all these miracles. They'd seen him walk on water. They saw him calm a storm at sea with a single word. They saw him feed 5,000 people for just a few loaves of bread, twice. They even saw him raise 3 people from the dead, one after 4 days in the tomb. How could they have such little faith? I mean, he was Jesus. He had shown them the power of God in him. They knew him. And surely they remembered his promise that he would have to suffer, as he tells us again in today's gospel. He would have to suffer and then die and then be raised on the 3rd day. How could they lose hope like they did? But the thing is, we lose hope like that all the time in Jesus. How many times have we given up on Christ? Maybe not by locking ourselves in our homes and barricading the door, but in other ways. How many times do we fail to show charity for someone, knowing perfectly well that Jesus told us, whatever we do for the least of his brothers, we do to him? Or how many times have we faced a moral dilemma, some temptation to sin against the will of God as Jesus taught us, and we just give in, saying, well, it's just too difficult. Or, well, maybe Jesus didn't really mean it that much. Or maybe even Jesus was wrong. How many times have we been in a conversation with a friend or co-worker or a family member, and they raised a criticism against the teaching of Christ's church, and we just remain silent? How many times have we been caught up in all the problems of the world around us and let ourselves get into a funk and maybe into a depression and just completely failed to turn to Jesus and ask for and accept His love, grace, and peace? Every time we did these things, we locked the door, cowered in fear, and ignored the promises of Jesus. He promised us that He would send His Holy Spirit to give us strength, and that He would come again to be with His faithful, to bring them into the perfect happiness, peace, and glory of heaven, and even to share in that in this world. But we don't believe Him so often. One of the wonderful things about the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord is that it reminds us that no matter how many times we've doubted or been afraid to follow Jesus, today we can have a new beginning. We see this in today's readings in several ways, and one way that's very beautiful but subtle. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but today's first reading and today's gospel are written by the same human author, St. Luke. Most people know that Luke wrote his gospel because it's named after him, but they forget, or maybe they don't even know, that the Acts of the Apostles was written by Luke also. Really, they're just a two-volume set. And if you read them, read the end of one and the beginning of the other, you see that they are, in fact, joined together. The gospel was the story of the life of Jesus when He walked in His body on earth. And the Acts of the Apostles was the story of Jesus when he bodily ascended into heaven, but His body, the mystical body, His church, walked on earth. But between these two volumes, St. Luke builds a bridge. And we walked across that bridge today. I wonder if you noticed it. The second reading today was taken from the very end of, the gospel was taken from the very, the second reading was taken from the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, right? And there is a story, right there at the very end, is the story of the Ascension. And it says, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him from their sight. Then we have today's gospel, which is the very end of St. Luke's gospel, the first volume. And again we have the story of the Ascension. It says, as He blessed them, He parted from them and was taken up to heaven. The same story told a little different way, but the same story by the same human author. Both volumes record the glory of Jesus. But while the gospel records the failures and sins of men from the weaknesses, doubts, and betrayals of the apostles, the Acts of the Apostles record a new beginning for the church, for the apostles. No longer will they hide in fear, and never again will they deny the power of God. And it sort of hinges on the Ascension. And the thing that happened in between that changed everything was the resurrection, which the Ascension is really the completion of. In the resurrection, Jesus conquered sin and death. But in a sense, that was only the beginning of what He was about to do. Today we celebrate the fact that He ascended bodily into heaven. Not only rose from the dead and lived again in His glorified body in the year 33 AD, but also that He ascended in that same body into heaven and really lives in that body, enthroned at the right hand of His Father, now and forever. The resurrection continues. And the meaning of the resurrection continues in heaven. There in heaven, Jesus' chest still heaves with the breath of life. His heart still beats with the love of God. His ears are open to hear our prayers, and his mouth smiles when we love as he taught us to, and his eyes weep when we sin in opposition to his teaching. His hands reach out to lift us up when we fall, and his arms are open wide to welcome us into his peace. And as in the book of Revelation tells us, as he sits on his throne in heaven, he looks down on us and says, "Behold, I make all things new." Today we remember that day when our Lord ascended to heaven, a day that marks the end of one way of living and the beginning of a new way of living. A new way of living based on the two promises he made that day. First, that he promised to send the Holy Spirit to give us power from on high. And he has sent the Spirit, as we remember, as we celebrate Pentecost next Sunday. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus remains with us, even until the end of time. As he bodily sits on his throne in heaven, his Spirit goes out all over the earth into all those who accept him, and remains in us in his church, in his word, in his sacraments, and through his sacraments in our hearts. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he makes sinful, fearful, doubting cowards like the apostles and you and me into holy, courageous, and faithful heroes, and made confident by the fulfillment of his first promise, we live in joyful hope that he will surely keep his second promise. He will come again in glory. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, yes, to cast out those who have not loved him, but more magnificently, to bodily raise up into heaven, into a new heaven and a new earth, all those who have loved him, who have remained faithful to him, who have kept his word and followed his commandments. Then we shall see, as Scripture tells us, the riches of his glory, and shall share his inheritance among the holy ones. Let us pray today that, like the apostles on that very first feast of the Ascension, we will learn from our foolish mistakes and never doubt him, but believe his promises. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can lay aside past fear and sin and begin a new life of faith and hope in he who sits at the Father's right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion. And let us begin this today, as the apostles did, in the temple, in this temple, the house of God. Let us begin right now at this holy mass, like the apostles, giving him homage with great joy and continually praising him in the temple. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.